Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. Here at newsounds.org, we still can't have live guests in our studios, so for these Soundcheck podcasts, we're doing a mix of remote performances and some memorable sessions from our archives. This is one of the latter, and for this one, we take you back to 2017. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This song from Amy Mann's newest album is called Stuck in the Past, which is not a phrase you'd ever really associate with Amy Mann. She left her successful major label band Till Tuesday back in the early 90s and never looked back, releasing a critically acclaimed series of albums on her own label and essentially offering a model for how to be an independent musician. But like most songwriters, she does visit the past, and her new LP recalls the sounds of 60s and 70s folk rock. The album is called Mental Illness, and Amy Mann and her trio are going to play some of it for us live in the Soundcheck studio. Our first song is the album's first single. Here's Goose Snowcone.
Looking into the face of the goose snow cone. Should be shaking it loose, but you do it alone. Every look is a truce, and it's written in stone. Gotta keep it together when your friends come by. Always checking the weather, but they wanna know why. Even birds of the feather find it hard to fly. Thought I saw on my feet an origami crow. Street hidden under the snow. Always snatching defeat, it's the devil I know. Gotta keep it together when your friends come by. Checking the weather, but they wanna know why. Even birds of a feather find it hard to fly. Looking into the face of the good snow cone. But I couldn't go on. I just wanted a place, but I ended up gone. Gotta keep it together when your friends come by. Always checking the way. Birds of a feather find it hard to fly. Looking to the face of the goose no cone.
That is the song Goose Snow Cone from Amy Mann from her brand new record, which is called Mental Illness. Live performance here in the studio with Amy singing and playing the electric bass, and aside from that, the trio is unplugged. Jonathan Colton on guitar and vocals, John Spurney at our piano, more vocals. Amy Mann, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thank you so much.
So mental illness has become like a kind of a hot topic, you know?
I know, sadly.
But yeah. I mean, among songwriters, you know?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, we've had quite a few people come through the studio in the last year or two with that as kind of a theme, but there you are just like putting it out there as a title. But it seems like maybe that's part of the, I'll use the word, fun of that title, that it just kind of, it's just very bold.
Like that, it's, yep, that's what it is. Yeah. I mean, even when you just introduced it, it sort of makes me laugh because it really, it is more or less what the record's about. I mean, I know that that's, you know, kind of a general catch-all for some of my favorite topics. I've written a lot about addiction and, but, you know, just generally, past the everybody's crazy, you know,
right,
I think,
right.
You know, yeah, it's, there's a lot of people who have a lot of stuff going on and it's sad and serious, but also, you know, I think you have to have some humor about it or you can't get through it.
Well, your previous record, Charmers, that was, you know, those were songs about narcissists and other personality
quirks.
Yeah, I
think it was kind of leading up to that. You know, now we're just into flat-out narcissism going into psychopathy and, you know, bipolar and, it's a whole bunch of them.
But the thing is that I always get the impression that your narrators are very composed people. You know, they have their wits about them. They know what's going on. They call a spade a spade. Even your Trump song. I mean, I don't know how many people were familiar with the song you wrote just before the election from the point of view of Donald Trump. But the guy is like, he's the only one who knows what's going on, you know.
Yeah.
Please, somebody stop me.
Yeah,
I don't want this job. I can't do this job. Why isn't anybody stopping me?
Yeah, it is hard to, whenever I write a song, it's more fun to put myself into somebody else's shoes and try to write from the first person, even Donald Trump.
You ask about my plan, but baby, my plan is to win, to wind up all the tops and watch the others keep the spin.
And, you know, but even in that, like, obviously, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump or the administration, but even the exercise of doing that is interesting because, you know, you see, yeah, I mean, I can connect with that. There are things that I am compelled to do. I don't want to do them. I don't have any other tools or options. I don't know how to get at this. This is all I know is chasing this idea of greatness and hugeness. That's all I got. I guess I got big inauguration crowds. That's all. I don't know. That's all I got.
Yeah.
So, you know, I sympathize with it. Like, if you don't know there's anything, other options, you don't pursue other options.
Yeah. You haven't been tempted to revisit that character since the election and the inauguration?
Oof. Yeah, I don't.
I'll take that as a no.
Maybe I'll do one for each key player. Oh God, what a dark, dark enterprise.
Yeah. Do you feel like this album is dark?
I don't really feel like it's that dark. I mean, I just feel it should be, but it doesn't really feel that dark to me. It feels, I don't know. I people are so messed up, but I have a lot of compassion for them, even when they make really horrid mistakes that you go like, maybe I just have to stay away from you.
Huh. You know, and maybe that's when I said before your narrators are very composed, maybe what I'm hearing is that kind of compassion, you know, like the author who likes all of his or her characters.
Yeah.
Even the quote-unquote bad ones.
I think it's important to try to have compassion for other people. I think it's important to try to have compassion for yourself. I think we're greatly flawed creatures. And, you know, you just have to, you can't ever not think about that. I mean, I think the process of songwriting puts you into the seat of the observer, so that's a more composed seat. I think probably Jonathan Colton here can attest that I'm not necessarily... You know, if I have a problem, I'm not necessarily like composed about it. I'm just like trying to get ready for our broadcast. Like, where's my jacket? I can't find a chair.
Well, so, now the two of you co-wrote some of the songs on this album.
We
right?
did, and we're gonna play one of what are we playing? We're gonna play two of the songs that we co-wrote.
Oh yeah, we are.
One's called Patient Zero. One's called Good for Me.
All right. Well, Patient Zero is the one we're going to hear next. And let's hear this live performance here in our soundcheck studio of a song called Patient Zero.
Ooh. You served you champagne like a hero. When you landed, someone carried you back. Here on out, your patient zero, smelling ether as they hand you the rag. Life is good, you look around and think I'm in the right neighborhood, but honey, you just moved in. Life is grand, and wouldn't you like to have it go as planned? Hip-hip-hooray, hocus-pocus. There's some magic, you can fly through the air. But when you're the guy pulled in focus, there are people who will wish you were there. Life is good, you look around and think I'm in the right neighborhood, but honey, you just moved in. Life is grand,
enough to almost touch.
Amy Mann and the trio with a live performance of Patient Zero, which is on Amy Mann's album called Mental Illness, and Amy singing and playing the bass, Jonathan Colton on guitar, John Spurney at our piano, everybody singing at one point or another there. And Amy, this is, you know, the bass is plugged in, but the sound of this album is really acoustic.
It's pretty acoustic, yeah. I wanted to keep it really stripped down, and I probably would have had it be even more stripped down, but then my producer came to me with string charts that were so great that we ended up having strings on almost every song.
Was that part of the initial genesis of the album? Was after Charmers, which was much more electric, was it like, I want to do something different? I mean, you've gone back and forth over the years.
No, I wanted it to be dark, and I mean, not dark, but like the sonically really, you know, that big round acoustic guitar right in your face where you can hear the string noise and the, you know, fingers on the strings and, you know, and some strings on some songs, but, you know, that kind of Nick Drake-y, you know, Leonard Cohen, Joni Mitchell, you know, that real, like, really basic voice and one instrument or two instruments and, you know, like a couple of background vocals.
Right. Well, you know, and the string arrangements really do add something. And of course, there's mention of the canyon in Patient Zero. Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't take too many steps to find yourself in Laurel Canyon.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of a classic reference. Well, that was Jonathan's line. You know, that song is a real Hollywood story, although as I sing it, it feels very election flavored because it's a story of a, you know, the talented artist who's been promised a part in this big movie and then, you know, kind of gets involved in these sort of political maneuverings and ends up getting axed out. You know, some people don't really belong in that dog-eat-dog system. This was a song that I had lying around, and it was a waltz, and it just really wasn't, I liked it, but it wasn't really thrilling me, and I handed it off to him, and I'm like, look, make it work, do something with it. And so he sort of refashioned it for me and wrote a bridge, but like, yeah, that was your...
Yeah, when I mentioned the canyon, I wasn't entirely sure of the geography of Los Angeles, if like, that made sense. There are canyons, right?
There are canyons and there are lights and canyons.
Right, yeah.
No, that tracks.
So this this album, as always, is on your own label, on Super Ego Records. And, you know, I mentioned in the introduction how for many musicians you have been kind of a, you know, a model of the indie musician making her own way in what can be a dog-eat-dog world. But you started doing this in a very different music business. So how do you feel like the model has had to change for you over the course of the years?
Yeah, I mean, it has, but I mean, I'm the first to admit that I am not the person who is making calls to insert business entity here. You know, I have a great manager in it, and he has a great team, and so they do all the work. So I, you know, I'm sure they're more aware of how it's changed. But I, you know, I think when I first was, you know, first left the, I was on Interscope, and they had just had a big merger. Well, I was on Geffen, and we had merged into Interscope, and I think they were so overwhelmed with acts and labels, they were like, look, if you want to go, you can go. I'm like, oh my God, where's the door? How fast can I get out of here? You know, there wasn't really, it wasn't like you could even go on a web page and order a thing. It was kind of like you could go on the internet and get a phone number and order a thing still by phone. But you know, but it was a, you know, it was a thin end of the wedge. So it was some kind of independence. You know, I think that me and my manager kind of knew how the music business worked, and it wasn't rocket science. You know, you get a song on the radio, and you get a distributor, so you're in stores, and you know, you hire a promo guy, so there were a couple of basic elements that you had to have in place. But now I think it's a million little things,
right?
And it's a lot harder to keep up with.
Yeah. All of which made your cameo on Portlandia so much funnier to anyone who's followed your career.
Saved.
You know, the idea that here you are cleaning houses to make ends meet because, you know, the songs just
Well, that had actually happened to Carrie, that she had hired house cleaners and a woman who showed up was somebody who was in a band she had just seen that weekend, which is really...
That really is very
really
depressing.
It's sad that it's a true story.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you mentioned before that you and Jonathan have done a couple of these songs together. I love the chord sequence in this next song, Good For Me.
Oh, thank you.
So now how does that happen? Does it start with you and you pass that off to Jonathan? Did this one work?
This is a song that I think, if I have this right, that you told me you were trying to write a song that sounded like me.
That's right, yeah.
So so Jonathan started this chord sequence. I think the initial idea, and then we started...
I started the verse, and then you made it weird in other spots.
I made the chorus weird.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, it has kind of typical Amy Mann startling imagery right up front, you know, line one with the wasted smoke machine and the dopamine,
That's you.
Jonathan, was that you?
I'm just doing an Amy Mann impression. Yeah. That's all.
Wow, it was like spot on.
Thank you.
Going all the way back to the smell of cordite in old songs Susan. You know, it's just like, oh man, she's still pulling out these weird images. But that was you.
It's all okay. Right. I'll write a song with Jonathan for his record and make it about robots.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
All right.
Dumb cheap joke. Sorry.
Amy Mann, Jonathan Colton, John Spurney performing live for us here in the Soundcheck studio. Let's hear the song. It's called Good For Me.
What a waste of a smoke machine. Took the taste of a dopamine and left me high and dry. Call the cops, call the cavalry. Spin the tops that'll dazzle me and give me a new supply. There's a layer below underneath all the layers that I knew. So I pay when you go, but it only convinces me that you are good for me. Good for me. Good for just a little bit of what I need to soothe an appetite that I can't feed. Isn't that good for me? Accessorizing before the fact. Alibis couldn't stay intact as guilty as a gun. So you dig, so you move some earth. Tunnel down out of Leavenworth or set the fuse and run. Blasting deep underground, getting down to the continental shelf. Pretend I'm surprised by the lies that I'm telling to myself. That you're good for me. Good for me. Good for. Undercover of your rifle fire. I'll slip the traces and I'll trip the wire. Is it that? Good for me. Good for me.
That is Good For Me, song from Amy Mann and Jonathan Colton, John Spurney at the piano. And Amy, what did you think when Jonathan first brought you the sketches of the, did it have the ring of familiarity
to you? Yeah, it did. It was great. Also, I was furious because he said, I was on the plane and I had this idea and I just sort of put it down on my phone in GarageBand. Oh, really? Did you just make a multi-track recording in the bathroom on the airplane?
Whipped up a quick thing on the plane, yeah.
So are you someone who has to wrestle with your songs? They don't just like come to you on the plane?
It's somewhere in between. The plane is, I don't know how you did that. I mean, I do have to have a guitar in my hands. I think that's a requirement. But it's not really wrestling so much as like rolling around in a little bit. Sometimes they come all at once, more or less. But I like to roll around it. Like there's always a, you know, if I feel like, for instance, the chorus to this, I was like, I know I'm hearing a different thing. Like I know that it could go in a different place. Mm. I'm not that different, but it, you know, we sort of changed some chords and stuff and. Yeah, so, yeah, like a dog rolling around in a dead pigeon. I knew this image was not good when I started it.
That's not dark at all.
All right, so, but on a happier note, there's some beautiful string arranging on that song as well on the album. Who did the string
arrangement? My producer, his name is Paul Bryan. We've worked together a long time. He did my last, you know, handful of records. And, he had, I think, had taken a conducting course at UCLA and just really, you know, was working on his arranging chops, I guess. And, I thought these arrangements were so beautiful and also different from song to song. It wasn't, it didn't sound like the same arranger or the same string section even. Each song had its own kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and I think he really helped to keep, you know, some songs sound very lush, but some really keep that... that stripped down thing, and you know, maybe strings will just sort of erupt in the bridge or something. And it's, you know, I think he did a fantastic job.
So now, when you tour, you know, behind this record, is Jonathan in the band or is he simply the opening act?
He's the opening act, and we, our plans for him, Jonathan, my plans for you, which maybe you don't
glad
know.
Glad to be hearing this.
is that maybe he will sit in on three or four songs and play the guitar finger-picking parts that I cannot play.
Sure.
All right. It's all settled then.
Yes.
You guys are ready.
It's done.
The album is called Mental Illness, and Amy, it's been a while since you were last here. Real pleasure to have you back. Thank you so much.
And I wanted to just say really quick, my label is putting out Jonathan's record. It's called Solid State.
And it is also quite awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Agree.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. This is Soundcheck.
Helium cell like a hermit crab shell was a blank. You could tell it never was me. You never loved me.
You've been listening to an episode of the Soundcheck podcast from our archives. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. You can see and hear much more on our website. Check it out at newsounds.org.
Like you never loved me. You never loved me. Stipulate that I